Alrighty, hello there. Gotta make sure there's no static. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Poposky, and, of course, Tim Kearns, and Tim working remotely from points unknown. What did they used to say? Remember Walter Winchell? You might be too young for Walter Winchell, but I know he used to say something to the effect, "Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North America, something or other, and all the ships at sea." Do you remember that?
No.
No. Okay.
You're dating yourself well beyond me.
Well, it was in the, they used to have it in the newsreels when you watch the movies. You go to the movies, and they have what serials, and they have these newsreels on, and Walter Winchell was on. "Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North America, and all the ships at sea." Like, okay. and that was how we got our news back then. And sadly, and that was, it was always a week old. Now it's about, what, 30 seconds old when we get our news?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. But there are times when it's live.
Oh, yeah. And with all the social media, instantaneous communication. Well, listen, Coach, glad to have you aboard tonight. We have a really big shoe, as we have a lot of stuff to disseminate here this evening. We'll be talking with a Linfield High School athlete, three-star athlete, one of the Marengis from Linfield. He was selected to be one of the quarterbacks of the Shriners All-Star football game, but that game is not happening. I'll read a statement on that in just a second. But we'll talk to Clayton and see what his reaction is about losing out on spring sports, and talk with how he's made out with the teammates and so on, and how Linfield High School has fared since March 13. We'll also be checking in, as we do most every week, with Gary Lair, Sports Encyclopedia. Check up. And special guest Sherry Bryant. She is the associate director of the MIAA, the Massachusetts Interscholastic Athletic Association. And it is not a mysterious organization. She breaks it down for us pretty good. Tells us a lot of things I didn't know about, Coach.
I don't know. Some people think it's a version of the
Mason. Okay. Well, we'll get information on that. But let me read this statement, first of all, on the Shriners game. But I have to find it. What did you do with it? Where did it go? Oh, here it is. Here it is. Okay. Coach Jim Pugh, who was on the board of the Massachusetts High School, the Massachusetts Football Coaches Association, High School Football Coaches Association board. I keep getting a static. Hold on. Let me see if I can correct it. I'm still getting a hum, but hopefully that's not driving people crazy. Let me just look at my meters here. Hold on 1 second, everyone. Yeah, there's still a hum there.
Well, we're going to break into our new software probably next week. New software, new equipment, new
and so on.
Probably should have tried to do that tonight. The 42nd annual Shriners All-Star Classic football game, scheduled for June 19, was canceled. The annual event, sponsored by the Aleppo Shriners and the Massachusetts High School, that's what I was just talking about, MHSFCA, but the Shrine game has never been about the actual game itself. Rather, the importance lies primarily in the annual opportunity to share with young men of high character and potential the critically important mission of the Shriners organization. Under normal circumstances, players selected to participate in the Shriners Classic would help raise funds to support the Aleppo Shriners Transportation Fund by asking family and friends to purchase advertisements in the game program. No game means no game program. The MHSFCA has paired with Gold Cards, that's We Fund You, to ask the players to raise funds for Aleppo Shriners. If you hear from one of the All-Stars, please know this money goes directly to the Aleppo Shriners. Whichever team, North versus South, raises the most money will go down in the record books as the winner of this year's contest. The series record is currently the North 19, the South 22. Donations can be sent to MHSFCA, 17 Carriage Court, Merrimack, Massachusetts, 01860. Check payable to Aleppo Shriners Transportation Fund. And if this comes from Coach Jim Pugh, you can bet that it is totally on the up and up and totally valid. And Coach, I know you have talked, as I have, many times with Coach Paul Ingram about the Shriners football game, the Shriners All-Star Classic, about what it meant to him as coach and also what it meant to the players. And it's just Shriners Hospital in Boston is one of the most amazing organizations I've ever heard of.
Yeah, certainly. You know, my wife works at Shrine as a Spanish interpreter, and it is incredible the miracles that the doctors from MGH who volunteer their time and their skills, what they do to help young people from around the world with their burns. And the one in Boston is just one of a series of hospitals located throughout the country. And no money is ever collected from any of the families for the work that is done, and the doctors don't take any pay. An event that if you have the opportunity to make a donation, one should, and feel good that you've aided a young man helping his team reach a goal of outraising the other one. And now instead of gaining more yardage, who can gain more dollars?
Yeah, it's quite a thing. And I know Coach Ingram impressed, every time we talked to him, he impressed upon us how emotional and informational and educational it was when the teams would visit the Shriners, the kids would go visit the Shriners. And as you heard in that press release, these are kids of character, and they were, Paul said, you know, to a player, to each an individual student athlete, it just hit them to the core. And as you said, the families don't have to pay anything. Kids come from all over the world to be treated at the Shriners Burns Institute, and being part of that as a high school kid has got to make you feel pretty damn good.
Yeah, you know, and Boston Children's Hospital is not far away, and friend of ours, daughter, I think I've told this story before, had leukemia come on around about 2 years old, and my wife and I went in to visit, and oh my God, it brought tears to my eyes to see the condition that these young kids were dealing with. And I've never had the chance to go and visit the Shriners Burns Center, but the story that she would tell when she first went there and would come home and what she had seen and the trauma these young people were suffering, and yet the courage that they displayed, that's true courage, that they're able to, yeah, you know, survive and withstand the agony and the disfigurement. And to go back and with the medical help provided by the doctors and the nurses and everybody there, to be able to come back and be, you know, to one degree or another, productive citizens in their own country.
So we encourage donations to be sent to the MHSFCA. That is the Massachusetts High School Football Coaches Association, 17 Carriage Court, Merrimack, no K at the end of Merrimack, Massachusetts, 01860, and make out the check to Aleppo Shriners Transportation Fund. And there won't be a dollar better spent than a dollar donated to the Shriners. And it's just an amazing place. A three-star athlete at a three-sport athlete at Linfield High School. We talked with him back in the fall when the Linfield Pioneers won a tremendous run going into the playoffs, and he has been selected as to be one of the quarterbacks for the Shriners game. He's also going to be playing at Endicott College. He will be playing football, and we got to ask him about how he decided on that, because apparently he had three sports to select from, Tim, so he chose football.
Well, they've been developing that program over the decade, and as we used to talk to the head coach on almost a weekly basis, and they've played for league titles and national titles, and for a very small school that only went co-ed, you know, within the last 25 years, they've certainly built a dynamic athletic program there.
Yeah, not to mention dynamic institution overall as well. Okay, we'll be back with Clayton Meringi in just a second. This is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday evening.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Uh-huh. Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're back now with Linfield High School quarterback Clayton Marenghi. And Clay, welcome back to MSO. It's been a while since we talked, but how you guys making out? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy to be here is the thing. Clay, tell me about your senior year, because three sport athlete. I know you played baseball. Obviously, you played football. What's the other sport?
Basketball.
You did play basketball. Okay. So let me ask you a little bit about, before we focus on football, let me ask you about how you, your teammates, and your classmates, class of 2020 at Linfield High School, dealt with this the last 3 months. Because March 13, when everything shut down, you guys got, as every other senior did in the region, around the world probably, you know, you got gypped out of your events, your social events, your athletic events, and so on. So tell me a little bit about how you've made out and maybe how you've dealt with this with teammates and classmates.
Yeah, I kind of dealt a little different from my teammates and classmates. I mean, obviously, so to this point, but obviously I was devastated when, like, I first learned about spring sports being canceled and the rest of school, but not just for me, but obviously all my teammates. But then, like, I found out that my dad tested positive in late March for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when things like got pretty real. And it really changed my perspective on things, you know?
Yeah, I can only imagine, Clay. We've had one person that I know of involved with COVID. It was my late mother-in-law now, who was near the end of her life, and COVID sort of hurried it along. I can't imagine what you guys went through. Is your dad okay?
Yeah. Thank God he's okay now, but it just, as I said, it just really changed my perspective on things. I realized that family and health just comes first. Playing baseball didn't really come to my mind at the time.
That's incredible. And did you sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, adapt to a daily schedule of being indoors, checking on your dad? I'm guessing he was either hospitalized or watching really closely.
He was, thank God he wasn't that bad. His case wasn't that bad, so mm-hmm. He was at home with us.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the everyday schedule really changed, and obviously our whole family's main focus was helping my dad recover.
Wow, that's amazing. And Clay, before I let Tim jump in here, tell me a highlight about Linfield baseball. We know about football. I didn't follow the basketball this year. I kind of stuck to the NEC. Bill Newell did basketball. I did hockey. So I'm pretty aware of how your brother made out in hockey. But tell me a little bit about baseball and what you were looking forward to this year, what you guys had, you know, sort of had planned and what the team looked like.
Well, the thing I like about baseball more than all the other sports is my teammates that I've played with, I've been playing baseball with them since I was probably 4 years old. And I just love playing with them because I think we just have great chemistry. We've had it ever since we were little kids, and I was just really looking forward to end off our high school career playing with my best friends.
And listen, after college, if you don't go into the pros, is there some kind of a semi-pro or adult league baseball like in on the North Shore, it's the Intertown League? What do you have in Linfield?
We got I've been playing a couple summer leagues. We got a league where all of our friends play. One of his dads sets it up. It's a fun game.
Cool. Tim?
Yeah. I played two sports in high school, basketball and baseball. And not having a football team, that you got a chance to get your studying going. What was the discipline like for yourself to football starts before school starts, to make sure you stayed on track with your studies the entire year? And because you were starting off already in preseason with workups in the summer, and then, you know, the first week of school, you got the first game. So how did you balance the academics and the athletics?
I mean, it's really hard to
you go to school early, you come home and it's late, and you need to have supper, and you need to hit the books, and then it's right back at it again the next day, and there's no slowdown, especially when you're that three-sport style when you're playing football, and then football ends, and basketball is already starting, and you're back in doing catch-up, and then spring, if you've only got a couple of weeks, or maybe not even, depending on where you end up, and you can always go to tournament, so you're right back into baseball, and you're in great shape because you're going from one sport to another. If your muscle sets are really in great shape because you're using so many different muscle groups throughout each of the sports, so the likelihood of an injury, except a freaky one, is very minimal.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for that. I can stay out.
Absolutely. Well, Clay, Coach Pugh over at Hamilton went and put us on the Shriners thing, and I tried to get a hold of Coach LaMusta, but he's pretty busy tonight. We talked with him a lot during football season. Being selected a Shriners football player, did you have a chance to meet, on Zoom or remotely or whatever, to get some kind of an idea about the culture of the Shriners game and what it means to the Shriners Hospital?
Yeah, there was a Zoom about it, but I couldn't make it. But yeah, all the coaches from Shriners are trying to play something together for guys to get together.
Yeah,
get to know each other, get to know about Shriners a little bit more.
Excellent. All right. And now the big thing is, what is coming up in September, or I should say in August? Coach tells me that you are going to Endicott to play football. You decided on football. Tell me a little bit about how that process went, when you decided, and what's going on.
It was a little different for me. Going into my senior year, I actually thought I really wanted to play college baseball. And that process was a little bit different, to say the least. And we had a really successful football season this year. And I started talking to Coach LaMusta, and he kind of talked me into it, and I was like, and I kind of made the switch to football. And we started, Coach really helped me along the way with the whole college recruiting process. And yeah, here I am.
What's the next step? When will you guys get started? When will you be going over to Beverly?
So as of now, I head back for camp August 11th. And as of now, we're supposed to go back there. So.
Well, you know, eventually, whether it's in August or later, eventually this thing's going to settle down and you're going to get to do it. What do you want to study in school?
Going for business.
Ah, smart man. Makes some money.
Yeah.
Are your teammates about your years at Linfield High School or, how things have gone because you've had a very, very, very successful career. I guess your whole family has, and really happy your dad is recovering as well.
Yeah, thank you. There actually is some talk, I forgot to tell you this, but there is some talk about having one last game for baseball August 1st.
Mm-hmm. Who would that be against?
North Reading.
I love it.
It would be a fun little rivalry game.
I'm hoping all the leagues can do that. Set up some kind of an alumni game, with your arch rival, whenever it is, and bring everybody back in for that one day. That'd be cool. That's something you're going to remember forever. Clay, I really appreciate it. Thank you for talking with us. We'll check in on you over at Endicott in the fall as well.
Sounds good. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Thanks, Clay. Take care. Good luck.
Take care. Best of luck.
All right. That is Clayton Marenghi, who is the all-star football. Comes from an all-star family, actually, of athletes over there in Linfield. He is most likely to be one of the quarterbacks of the Shriners game, also quarterback at Linfield High School, and three-sport athlete. I keep saying three-star, three-sport athlete. And he'll be heading to Endicott.
He was a three-star athlete in three sports.
Probably a five-star athlete in three sports. Okay, all right. Crickets. Okay, coming up next, we'll bat this around. We'll bat this around a little bit, talk a little bit more sports, bring on Gary Larrabee in just a while. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com. Stay with us, and by the way,
any suggestions, comments, complaints.com is how you get a hold of us. MSONewsSports@gmail.com.
MSO News Sports is a unique multimedia website providing exclusive news and sports content for the North Shore. Our goal is to keep you connected to your local neighbors throughout Essex County and beyond. We feature the best of the North Shore, and we couldn't provide this service without the powerful support of our local sponsors, like Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury, the Bradford Tavern in Rowley. Just like us, they care about the North Shore. Check out all of our podcasts and share our website with your friends. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Again, we are your connection to the best of the North Shore. msonewsports.com.
Underway. Tim, I put together a tentative football schedule already to see some of the games that are upcoming, hopefully, again, keeping our fingers crossed in September. And we've got some, there are some fantastic games scheduled anyway with Masconama coming into the league. And the very first weekend on September 11, check this out, opening game, Masconama at Danvers. Hello. So,
Very good game.
Right away. So,
you hope that Gloucester can rebound from last year, because Gloucester-Masco games have always been very entertaining as well, whether it was in Gloucester or at Masco.
Well, I don't know if Gloucester has Masco on the schedule, but Danvers does, and it looks like it's a home and home. Danvers will be visiting Masco, if I've got the schedule right, and I may not have it right. I'll double check it. But there are some really good games coming up, and we hope we'll be able to bring those to you. We're not going to have the schedule that we've had in years past in terms of two, three, four games a weekend. We're probably going to have one with a maximum of two at times if we can do a Saturday game. So it'll be scaled back a tad. But we're still going to do what we can do. Coach, what comes to your mind in terms of sports, either locally, collegially, or on the pro scene?
Well, you know, again, there's with sports trying to come back and looking at the adverse effect that we've already seen of a rise in COVID cases at places where large gatherings have taken place, it may not be out there as long as people hope it is. But Major League Baseball just can't seem to get their act together between the players and the owners over how many games they want to play, how much money they're going to make, what are they going to be the stipulations. And it's, you know, by the time that all is said and done, the time frame to do it is going to be gone.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, locally, guess what? The Navigators are going to play baseball. We have a post up there. Bill posted it a little while ago, Bill Newell. The Futures Collegiate Baseball League has formally unveiled its plan to begin the 2020 season with a six-team schedule on Thursday, July 2. The Navs will open their season with one of the two Future League games on the first Thursday of July. And, of course, Navs president Derek January, a familiar name here on the North Shore, is quoted as saying, "We are beyond excited to get Navs baseball back at historic Frazier Field." And it's a good brand of baseball, isn't it, Tim?
Yes, it is. You know, they're college kids from all around the country. Half of the members of each team have to be from the local area, so there's a lot of personal connection for the people that live in the area. Very smart move on their part, because there are some outstanding athletic talent, in this case baseball talent, in each of the areas where teams are located, and this gives family members a chance to see their sons playing at a very high level. These are kids from top colleges around the country, and there are other leagues that have higher level talent. You know, you talk about the Cape Cod. That is the premier amateur baseball league, has been for a number of years. You can go out to I think it's Minnesota, and they've got a huge successful minor league program out there. A lot of guys get drafted off of these teams. The Navs have certainly had their share of players that have been drafted. So you want to go see good ball where they run out every single ground ball like it's the last time they're ever going to play. You see nothing but hustle from these kids. And they're playing the game as fundamentally sound as you're going to find anywhere, because, again, you know, that's how you get moved on. That's how you get drafted, by doing it fundamentally correct, by executing the fundamentals of the game that, that you demonstrate a knowledge of the game besides being able to go up there and swing a bat, but recognizing situations, you know, both defensively and offensively. It's great baseball, and it's a cheap take for a family affair.
Well, I know that families have a lot of fun over there. There are always all kinds of promotions going on at Fraser Field by the Navigators, and from hot dogs to fireworks to all kinds of great things. So that's exciting. We keep our fingers crossed that everybody stays healthy and that this virus thing continues to abate, at least around here. So far, so good.
Well, you know, you have to credit Governor Baker and his staff that, you know, along with Governor Cuomo, they saw early on the only way to defeat this is to basically get after it early on and take the draconian measures early. And that's what they did. And we've seen this steady decline now in numbers of new cases and in numbers of deaths. People are still getting it. People are still dying. But we're not at a zero rate yet. But you look at other states around the country, throughout the South, Florida, all the way across to Texas, heading up north in a northwesterly direction. Those states that didn't bother, it's not as bad as people say it is. You know, no restrictions, everybody go everywhere, no masks. Well, all of a sudden, we're seeing massive spikes in the number of cases that these states are experiencing right now. And that's why, because they chose not to get after it in the beginning. And now they're going to have to play catch-up.
Well, let's hope that it eventually flattens out all over the place. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed. It's great to be able to get out. We had a good weekend. We're able to get out this weekend. And the restaurants, I know, are opening up conditionally. They're excited about that. And coincidentally, the weather has been fantastic for the restaurants that have been able to open with outside dining. So there is that little silver lining. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and check in with Gary Larrabee. And still to come, we'll be talking a little bit later on to the MIAA Associate Director, Sherry Bryant. And she has a very, very informative talk, things to discuss with us. So that's coming up here on MSO News Sports. Let's take a break. We'll come back with Gary. This is MSONewsSports.com.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of Cape Ann Savings Bank, serving the Cape Ann community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our offices or call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, CapeAnnSavings.bank.
Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester. Now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
Okay, we're back now with sports writer emeritus Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf reporter, and everything else. Gary, welcome back. How are you?
Thanks, guys. It's been a great week, and always a thrill to talk golf with you and Tim.
Well, you know, I think the only thing I can say starting off here is that, you called it way back about the weather and getting out on the golf course, getting things to reopen and getting the driving ranges going. And boy, the weather has been consistent.
7 weeks, almost 8 weeks of beautiful weather where every day could be a golfing day with some good significant sun. So it leads us very much to celebrate what we've seen these first 2 weeks on the PGA Tour, Tim. I mean, another great show yesterday and over the weekend. I mean, if this is what the PGA Tour is going to be like after a COVID interruption, we should have these every year.
Yeah, I think by condensing the season, you get you get a greater degree of intensity from some of the players. And at least this week, we saw a more recognizable name coming out on top.
Yes, Webb Simpson, of course, last week's winner, Mr. Berger, almost won. But the fact we had like 15 to 19 players within three shots of lead going into the final round yesterday, and there was a rain delay. It extended the tournament till right before dark, and former U.S. Open champion Webb Simpson has continued to play exceptional golf the last two or three years after a bit of a lull after he won the Open out at the Olympic. He's having a resurrection to his career, and he's become a top 10 player.
Yeah, sometimes I guess that's what some guys need. You know, they have this success, and for some reason, all of a sudden, they hit a wall, and it takes them a bit to refine the game. And I think that's true for a lot of different sports.
Maybe the case, and because I think they're almost all the top players are coming up to the New England this week for the Travelers in Cornwall. One sad note, Christopher Francoeur from Amesbury and Renaissance and St. John's Prep and URI pre-qualified last week to get into today's qualifier, where there were like 110 players for two spots to get into the championship proper, and Chris did not make it. But the headline of the day is the fact that Brooks Koepka's brother Chase did get in, and he was one of the two qualified. I think he finished in the top 10 yesterday, but he still had to qualify today in Connecticut, and he made it. Which adds another nice little storyline for what should be another very low scoring week in Connecticut, like it was at the Heritage.
Yeah, those scores are really low, right on down to, I mean, like the first 20 or 30 players are 15 below and better. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
We're going to see that I think again this week, guys. And another little piece of tidbit that we should talk about today is the fact that. Regarding the tour was the fact the PGA of America announced that the PGA Championship, the first of the three majors being played this year, all postponed till later in the season. It's going to be, I think, the first full week in August will not have any spectators out at Harding Park out in San Francisco. So we may be seeing a lot more golf without spectators, and I wouldn't mind it if we didn't have spectators and a lot of those jerks who say, you're the man and you're the man and in the hole and all that silly stuff. I wouldn't mind if we didn't have any of that at the Masters and the U.S. Open at Wingfoot as well, Tim.
Yeah, you know, that's always disturbed me that, you know, these yahoos that have no respect for the game itself. And I've always seen it as just cheapening, you know, the experience, because there's such tradition involved with golf that really doesn't exist with all the other sports. There's a specific decorum that has been followed for decades. And you know, you get the guys there that have a few pops too many, and all of a sudden they want to be the main attraction at each hole.
Yeah, I don't know how they're gonna either end that or eliminate that from the PGA Tour. But right now they're eliminating it by not having any spectators come to the tournaments. And
hey, but you know, and NBC is going to do this. They're going to pipe onto the broadcast crowd noise, so you're still going to be able to hear those "You're the Man" on the TV.
I hope not. I hope you're just joking.
Yeah, really.
That's what they're doing with their broadcast of the English Premier League soccer. They're piping in on the TV broadcast
crowd noise, even though there's no crowd. Piping in noise. You can download the broadcast without the crowd noise, but if you're watching it just on the regular TV, you get crowd noise, like 30,000 people worth of noise.
Well, soccer is a whole different animal than PGA Tour and international professional golf, but we'll see where that goes. A few other newsworthy items, guys, to share with you. Rob Oppenheim missed the cut this past week in his second Corn Ferry tournament in a row because he couldn't get into the field for the main event. And I haven't learned yet whether he'll make the field this week. It would be wonderful if he made the event this week in Connecticut, but I haven't seen the final field list yet. That'll be announced either tonight or first thing in the morning. Beyond that, I think I mentioned last week that Roger Lauzon passed away at 73, a 34-year head golf coach at Masconomet, 15 years at Linfield. I got tremendous feedback from my column on Roger Friday.
I'll tell you, Gary, that was
real popular guy.
Once again, was spectacular writing. You felt like you almost knew the guy by the time you're done reading it.
Well, you're killing me, but you're very, you've been killing kindness, but you're very nice to say so. Something happened today, guys. The New England PGA held their annual senior junior best ball tournament for PGA professionals over the age of 55. Would be one half of the team. The other half of the team would be a PGA professional under 55. And Todd Scarafone from Bass Rocks and his partner Brendan Roy from Point Judah finished tied for second, shooting a nice 7-under 64 at one of Metonymy down in Rhode Island in Middletown, but they still finished four shots behind. But good for a local pro. Todd made a few bucks and played well with his partner today.
I can't even keep up with that. I don't know how you do it, man. That's great news. Anything else you want to mention golf-wise or otherwise, Gary? And of course, you've got to tease what'll be in the paper this week.
Well, we do have a more qualifying going on for the Massachusetts Amateur coming up in mid-July at Catanza, where, of course, Salem Stephen Delisio is the defending champion. Of course, I mentioned in the paper, in the Salem News the other day, that it looks like Stephen will be going back to Duke for one more year of eligibility being granted by the NCAA after he lost his senior spring season to the pandemic. And he's just waiting to tie up some loose ends with figuring out which he needs to be accepted by one of the schools for a one-year master's degree. And that's what we're waiting to make sure that gets confirmed. But it's probably 99% accurate that it's going to happen. And Stephen will get a chance to compete both this fall for Duke and next spring for Duke. And then I think he'll be ready to turn pro. But we'll wait and see how that all shakes down as well.
Good. That's glad to hear that. All right, what about, what's the column going to be about this week?
I'm going to talk about a very interesting story. Peter Cronin is marking his 15th year as the head golf professional at The Meadow, the 18-hole municipal golf course for the city of Peabody. It's a very interesting story the way Peter, who played for the great George Hennessy at Peabody High, but then veered off into other professions for almost 20 years before he decided to take advantage of an advertisement in the local paper, the Salem News, that was pointed to him by his wife, Jeanette. And from there, he became the head golf professional at The Meadow at the age of 40, which is a very unusual journey to become a head golf professional. But it's a fascinating story. It's a wonderful credit to Peter, and he did a great job over at The Meadow, and that'll be the gist of my column on Friday.
I love it. Gary, it's great. Planning on doing it again next Monday, good Lord willing, and all that stuff.
Yes, I'm not going down to Cornwall to watch any of the golf. You don't know, watch it on TV. How about you, Tim?
I'm going to wait for the crowd noise. I'm going to watch it on TV.
Okay.
Guys, we'll talk next week.
Gary, thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Carry on.
Very
thank
good.
Thank you. Thanks, Gary.
That is Gary Larrabee. Just an encyclopedia of information. Golf is his first love. But, you know, Tim, the thing about Gary and Mike also, Mike Grenier, you know, they have their niches, so to speak, but they're almost equally as deep in knowledge in just about any other sport you want to mention.
Oh yeah, well that's what makes them the great sports writers that they are. They're diversified, you know, and they've covered each of those major sports for years, and they've got the collection of stories, and they've got the ins and outs of strategy and almost like the management side of the game, just not the X's and O's, but the ABCs of the offices and the way they're run and the acquisition of players and all that.
But the other thing too, Tim, that I find extraordinary for the great writers we have here on the North Shore, and Gary and Mike certainly head the list, is their ability to tell a story. They can go to an event or recall an event, and it's as though you're there.
You know, we sat down with, remember the game in 1978, and you know, you put your mind in the time frame and in the old garden, and it's like you can see it all unfolding in front of you. That's their great ability, is to paint the picture of what is transpiring out there.
Absolutely. Okay, we need to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be checking in with the associate director of the MIAA, as Sherry Bryant will be telling us a lot more than I ever knew about the MIAA, as well as what plans are tentatively, how the plans are tentatively shaping up for the fall. So please stay with us. This is MSO News Sports, and this is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. We'll be back.
Good, I can get it up early.
Well, it's my great pleasure to bring on Associate Director Sherry Bryant of the MIAA. And Sherry, welcome to MSO.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You know, before we even get started, we throw the term around MIAA a lot during games and when we have officials up in the press box and so on, and we talk to a couple of every now and then. But give me a little idea, if you would, please, of how we would explain to new people who, you know, new parents who are coming on board with it as their kids play sports, what the MIAA is and does.
Yes, so the MIAA is a membership organization. So I think off the bat, some folks have the impression that folks in this building, myself included, are the ones that are making all the rules that they may see in our handbook or encounter during our events, when actually it's a membership-driven set of rules. And the way our organization works is our task is to implement and support our schools in moving forward in supporting their student athletes by those rules as it relates to athletics. And then I'd say most importantly, furthering the mission of educational athletics. So making sure that through this vehicle of high school sports, that we are committed to the curriculum of teaching sportsmanship lessons, leadership lessons, wellness, the social emotional needs of the student athletes at the forefront of this, coaches education, community service. So that is a distinction in education-based athletics, and that is truly what this is all about.
How much input do the individual schools have? I know in high school, and you know, Marblehead is part of the MIAA, as the whole Northeastern Conference is. How much do local administrators, coaches, and so on participate in what goes on with the MIAA?
So each of our, the way our governance structure works is very much committee-based. So each of our sports has a sport committee, and on each of our committees there is a principal and athletic director representative. So local schools speak through those representatives on each of those committees, and that communication channel is meant to work back and forth, right, that the representative, so say Dan serving on a committee, would go back to his league and district folks saying, hey, here's a topic of discussion on our committee meeting agenda. I really want to get your pulse and your feedback, and then he brings it back into the meeting room. And the same is true on our administrative committees, such as tournament management committee, sports medicine, sportsmanship, game officials. Very similar structure and similar on our board of directors. And in all cases, we also include school committee representation, superintendent representation, coaches, officials, trainers, and medical personnel on our sports medicine, for example, to really make sure we have the proper stakeholders in the room and that we can get the input of the membership on these decisions.
See, I didn't know it was so involved. I'm glad to hear that because a lot of times you'll hear someone just say, oh, well, the MIAA does this or it does that, like it's some regal institution up there in the clouds. But you really do have a lot of participation.
Oh, definitely. And in some cases, I would say that that on occasion has caused criticism as well because the process needs to take time to and make sure that we have that communication with the membership and that there is an opportunity for thoughtful dialogue as we go through that governance structure. So sometimes that can take a little bit of time when folks are looking for maybe a quicker response. But again, I wouldn't have the authority to make a change without going through that process.
Cool, cool. Over the years, of course, the big topic of discussion, at least around these parts here on the North Shore, has been the football tournament setup. But we could get to that later or not. First, I want to ask you, Sherry, and I very much want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us this morning, today. I want to ask a little bit about your involvement, maybe a little bit of your background and how you got involved with the MIAA, because you've been there for a while now.
Yes, I've been with the association since 1991. Really what appealed to me is this definite student-centered focus and that I could really see an opportunity to do good and to give back. I was a field hockey player in my younger days. I still continue to love the sport, and I have the great pleasure of have been the field hockey liaison here since sometime in the mid-90s. So it's an opportunity to really be impactful in that way. And I have a financial background. So I worked in public accounting previously, so I bring that financial skill set to the table. And I am the controller for the organization and also work in the area of technology. So it allows me to have that great balance, you know, and that kind of nuts and bolts support of the foundation of the association while delivering the services to our schools and student athletes.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It sounds like a lot of jobs. My word. What kind of feedback have you gotten? I'd like for you to relay, if you don't mind, and I know this is a little, it's not off topic, but we didn't discuss this beforehand, but maybe a really good response or some quick anecdote that you might have in the history banks here about, let's say, a field hockey tournament, because these tournaments are so incredible. And kids, I especially love it when a school says, you know, oh, it's our first tournament win, and it's such a big deal. Tell me a little bit about the feedback you get on these things.
Oh, it really is. And I think as much as I have been here a great deal of time, as you've already indicated, I never cease to be impressed with our student athletes, and that goes for performance on the field and then also in settings such as I have the privilege of working with our Girls and Women Leadership events, so Girls and Women in Sport Day, as we recognize those young ladies and they come across the stage, and some of them have the opportunity, so poised and just so impressive, their accomplishments and the way they conduct themselves on and off the field. And as it relates specifically to the games, I think you just touched on it. When a school walks onto a turf field at one of maybe our collegiate settings that we are fortunate enough to be able to have access to at tournament time, and you can just see that look on their face that they're so wowed and excited to be there and perform in front of their school communities and really make them proud. And it really does your heart good. You know, you remember why you're here every day when some of these other challenges that we deal with on a daily basis, that it's all about the kids. And when you can see that it just is so rewarding.
Absolutely. You know, we talk with we go through Nate Bono a lot to get you know, the media participation when we do the tournament games, and Nate is so incredibly helpful. But you just mentioned the colleges and stuff like that. As liaison, as associate director, do you deal with the colleges and getting these venues, or maybe with the Garden or wherever it might be, or out in Worcester or up in Lowell?
Sure, definitely. And we've had some great relationships with, I'll utilize MassCAC as an example. I've met with their executive director a number of times, and we've tried to work collaboratively in the areas where we see overlapping needs. So, for example, in the area of officials, knowing that there's a need for more officials out there in order to conduct our events, both at the high school and the collegiate level, trying to come at some way to work together to further that mission and try to help move that forward.
It's you know, the more I hear about this, Sherry, the more I wonder when you sleep, because you know, you got so many membership schools and athletics. It's 365 days a year, and when schools are not playing, for example, right now, you're getting ready for things to come. So, do you have any time off at all?
I think that our tasks here are similar to what you see our athletic directors and principals and superintendents dealing with at the local level, right? It is 24/7 to service your kids and your school community, and we're here to support them in doing that job. So by extension, that's what we signed up on, and that's what we commit to serve.
Oh, good for you. Now, listen, I know that, you know, this has been probably, I'm going to guess, the most challenging 3 or 4 months of your career?
Absolutely. It's, I think this pandemic has presented so many complex challenges and for our school leadership that we're only still at the front end stages of trying to figure out what this is going to look like as we go forward, right? And certainly it goes beyond what we're doing, but very, very challenging and so important that we, as possible.
We were at the Garden during the semifinals of the basketball tournament, and as it turned out, those were the last games. I think it was around March 11, somewhere in that time frame. And the MIAA took a lead, really, in saying, okay, we really have to shut this thing down right now. And on the one hand, you know, it was horrible, but on the other hand, the way that the champions, I think, were settled, I think that was pretty creative, and I know kids were disappointed in not being able to play that next game on the one hand, but on the other hand, they still got their championship titles.
Yes, and I think you're going to see that, you know, as we go forward, that we're going to continue with our membership to be as creative as we can, you know, with definitely that focus on being attentive to what the governor's putting forward, the commissioner's putting forward, CDC, our national federation, but with an eye towards making sure we do everything we can to service our student athletes.
A couple of more questions. One, the 2019-2020 school year is now over. Do you kind of put that to bed? You put it in an archive somewhere, and then you move on? I know you're always looking ahead, but this year the school year is over. So, you know, what's the wrap up on that?
Yeah, I think we have wrap that up. We do have, I'm not sure that you've seen that, we have established a COVID task force that the President Jeff Granatino selected the membership for that, of that task force. They are principals, athletic directors, superintendent, school committees. There is a physician and trainers representation from our sports medicine committee. And there were some conversations about, is there more we need to do to wrap up the previous season? But at this moment in time, at our most recent meeting, they're saying, you know, we need to move on. Our student athletes, our schools have done a great job at getting creative in how to handle their wrap up and their graduations and the like. And we need to take that cue and move forward. That calendar is moving quickly fall is approaching. We really need to focus our attention there to serve going forward.
It must be a pretty anxious time, because I know that parents and kids alike are looking at, you know, the proposed guidelines at the moment, getting back into the classroom, and some people are just scratching their heads saying, how the heck are we going to do this? And I'm guessing in terms of athletics, it can't be any easier, even though for the most part you'll be outside, but you still don't know exactly what's coming down the road. So are these things that are in flux all the time and you have to meet constantly?
We are meeting regularly. We have created three working groups under that task force, and the groups are similar to what you see at the state level, that there's a group that is working on what has been referred to as the quote-unquote new normal. So students back on campus and going back to sports within these new guidelines that are being put forth. A hybrid model. Mm-hmm. Which is a combination of on-campus and remote learning, and then by extension what that might do to the athletic and extracurricular component, and then a version that has a amping up of the virtual support for delivering the education athletics curriculum and supporting athletic directors and coaches in their continued engagement with the students. Regardless of which one of those scenarios goes forward, we recognize that it is very meaningful to keep that engagement between the coaches and student athletes, particularly in the area of their social emotional needs, just to make sure that we continue to support, regardless of the remote versus in-person scenarios.
Well, I got to tell you, my experience having been an MSO, I don't know, I guess we've been doing this for about 15 years. I worked at a local radio station. I taught math at Gloucester High School for almost 40 years. I have never had a problem with dealing with the MIAA. And everybody's been so gracious and helpful to us here at MSO. In particular, I got to shout out Nate Bono again. He's been fantastic to us. And so I really appreciate your taking the time to give us a little bit of an insight into the workings of the MIAA. I mean, as I said, I've been covering sports for almost, a long time now. And I didn't realize some of the inner workings and how complex it is. So thanks for taking the time. And can you maybe just, if there's anything I didn't mention that you would like to mention?
No, I don't. I think that I would just go back to what you said about the folks really being anxious for more direction going forward, and that I think we all kind of echo that, but understand that this is going to continue to be fluid, and we just want to be thoughtful and take things incrementally as we're reopening and re-engaging. So I'm looking forward to seeing us get back on the playing fields. And whatever that new normal looks like, and anytime you want to reach out to us and continue this conversation, certainly we welcome that.
That is so appreciated, and that is the Associate Director of the MIAA, Sherry Bryant.
Yes, it is appreciated. I do appreciate it, and a lot of good information. I want to thank all of my guests here this evening as well. For stopping by, Gary Larrabee, of course, a regular, and we appreciate his knowledge and his information and storytelling. Also want to thank Clayton Moringi, the three-star athlete at Winfield High School, who will be going on to play college football at Endicott College. And, of course, to Tim Kearns, the man, also the Bukowski, our producer and engineer. Take care of one correction, of course. I don't know why I said Dan Bauer was the Beverly hockey coach. And, of course, Dan Bauer coached Beverly football for many years, and was the principal over at Marblehead. So sometimes my mouth is not engaged with the old brain. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Tell people about us, and let us know what you think at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. That's it for North Shore Sports Night. On behalf of Tim and Bill and everybody else and the other Bill, Rick Moore, this is MSO New Sports.